Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and
Well, good morning and welcome to a Tuesday. I'm Dick Whitworth. Happy Tuesday to you as we look ahead to what I trust will be a great Faith Radio morning. Rob Bluey will be our guest in just a few moments. I think he's on the line already, so we look forward to talking to Rob. He is really our friend and from the Daily Signal, talking about things happening in today's headlines, which seem to change every 5 minutes or so. Logan, good morning. You're looking awake and well today.
Thank you. It's because I have this wonderful coffee sitting in front of me from you. I appreciate that because I can't get through the day without at least five or six. My doctor tells me that's not safe.
Probably not, no. But you're on your way to morning radio. So congratulations and welcome, and a special welcome to our good friend Paul Perot. We're making our way through Faith Radio mornings. As you know, our dear friend Bill Arnold has moved to afternoons, weekdays from 3 to 5 Central Time, 4 to 6 for our Eastern Time friends in Hartford. I was so excited. I happened to listen to Bill's inaugural broadcast. He did a great job, as you would expect. Some regulars, some new faces and voices, and so it's going to be a very, very exciting time. And thank you for your prayers as we're looking for the right man or woman to fill the role as the next morning show host of Faith Radio. In the meantime, Neil Stavem and I will be doing our very, very best to fill that role and move the morning along. A couple of things today, Logan, as I was in my devotions, I'm reading out of the book of Job. And when I was your age, which was many, many years ago, reading the book of Job was really a mystery to me. I really didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it for the wisdom that actually came out of it. And, of course, it's probably, as I understand it, it is the first recorded written document, as it were, related to the scriptures. So of all of the things that go into the Bible, the book of Job was probably the first prepared document. And as I've gotten older, I appreciate the humanity, the not so much Job's friends. they weren't necessarily great friends, but I see them in life, and I've experienced them through the life. Hopefully I've never been one of them. But I thought today as I was reading, I was in Job 28, and I love this because when you think about the fact of how early this passage was written, here's what Job says in the closing verse of chapter 28. And he said to man, God said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. And it just hit me this morning that how true it was then, how true it is today, that the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, to run from evil is clearly understanding. And so part of what we do at Faith Radio Mornings is hopefully to encourage you, to remind you of the importance of God's Word, and to hopefully outline your day in such a way that at the water cooler today you have some important things to say, but most of all, that your love for the Lord, your fear of the Lord, is the beginning of your wisdom. And running from evil, well, that is understanding. Rob Bluey is going to be up next in just a moment. Before we go any further, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll get our day started. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share with our Faith Radio listeners, wherever they might be today, in Waterloo, in Fargo, in Hartford, today listening in, you know, here in the Twin Cities. We just ask today that you would guide us and direct us, be glorified in all that we do and say, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's 8 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. About 10 minutes past the hour, I'm Dick Whitworth, Faith Radio Mornings. A joy to be conversing with Rob Bluey. He's editor of the Daily Signal. Always great to listen to Rob. It's fun to interview him. And so, Rob, welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Thanks. It's great to be with you this morning. morning.
Well, I have, my wife and I are great fans of you and certainly Bill Arnold and the Early Morning Late Show. And I know you're going to be doing some appearances with Bill in the afternoon. We're trying to get you to do both each day. But, that, you know, we understand you have a life and a job. So
yeah, I still have to edit the news back here in Washington, that's for sure.
Well, we do appreciate your finger on the pulse of what's going on, and I don't know how you keep up with half of it. It's an amazing thing what's transpiring, and the first of what we hope are three major rulings out of the Supreme Court. Number one came down yesterday, and it was in favor of the Masterpiece Cakes decision. Now, it's limited. Can you kind of tell us, from your perspective, what happened, what it means, what it is, and what it isn't?
Yes, and first of all, it was a surprise to many of us that the decision came down so early in the month of June. We expected this to be one of the final cases for the court to decide, so we're not sure if that signals anything on the part of Justice Anthony Kennedy, who everyone, again, is waiting to see if he'll make a decision on retirement. But to the case itself, this is about Jack Phillips, who's a cake maker from Colorado. Jack has served customers of all different races, gender, orientation, you name it. But when it comes to making wedding cakes, he says this is an art. This is a form of art, and he deeply believes in his Christian beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman. So when a gay couple came to him and asked him to design a cake for their wedding, he said no. That case went to this Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which went on to do some terrible things to Jack and compare him to a Nazi and all sorts of other things that just were so blatantly false. That what the Supreme Court decided yesterday was that that Civil Rights Commission exhibited a religious test on Jack that was unconstitutional. He has the First Amendment right to freedom of religion and to practice that. And so when they say the decision was narrow, it was narrow in the respect that it was just decided on Jack's case. There are a number of other cases that are making their way through the court system. A florist who didn't want to provide flowers for a gay wedding, Sweet Cakes by Melissa. We've done a lot of these stories at the Daily Signal. What I think was significant about this case, though, is that it was a 7-2 decision. It wasn't one of those narrow 5-4 decisions we so often see. And the court said, and I'm going to quote here, "Religious and philosophical objections to gay marriage are protected views and in some instances protected forms of expression." So really a big decision. We think that this is something to celebrate on all of those who value their religious freedom.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I agree with you. The 7-2 decision was actually shocking to me in the sense that I didn't expect that. And yet, because of its limits, it really didn't solve much on the constitutional front per se. Correct?
Correct. Yeah, because again, it focused really on what this Colorado Civil Rights Commission did to Jack, and they said that the Civil Rights Commission went violated his First Amendment rights. Essentially, this is a government commission, and as we all know, the First Amendment applies, to how the government enforces the law. So, when it comes to speech, and so that's why I say, like, when your listeners hear people describing it as a narrow decision, there are still so many other cases now that have to make their way through the system, similar to Jack's. And I think some of us were certainly hoping that the court would provide some clarity, but as is often the case, these are never usually one-and-done affairs. You have to litigate them sometimes on a case-by-case basis to get these decisions. But I think that in some cases, like Baronelle Stutzman, who's the florist, whose case is also going through the court system, what she may be able to do now is point to this decision and say, look, the government agency or commission that's looking at my case also violated my freedom of religion.
That's interesting, because I know she really is probably one of the next ones up, correct, in potential in terms of this kind of conversation before the Supreme Court.
Yes, particularly because she had a lower court decision that went against her, so now she could point to this and either try to get that decision thrown out or have the case reheard.
Any feelings, any prognostications on that particular case?
Well, I think that if you're in a situation like Jack Phillips, who, and by the way, I would really encourage your listeners to go to the Daily Signal and watch the documentary we did on Jack. I mean, it is just, he is just an incredible person, such a caring, loving individual who really does have some, you know, deep beliefs in God. And I mean, really, it's informed, you know, so much of his life and his work. So, I mean, if you're somebody like that whose profession intersects with some of these debates that we're having in our society right now, I think that you should feel encouraged because you no longer will have to go against your deeply held beliefs. And the Supreme Court looked at this case and said, we believe that this is a discrimination against Jack. And so I think that if you're Baronelle, I can't speak for her, or you're Melissa Klein from Sweet Cakes by Melissa, you may think, wow, okay, finally, a decision has gone this way in favor of freedom of religion. I can now go forward with my case or try to get them thrown out of court.
You know, I know there were many lawyers that have been giving Jack, you know, free counsel and advice and help, but it still was very costly to him personally, financially. In some respects, a portion of his business, the wedding cake business, went away at least for a season. Is there a recourse for him? Will there ever be, because some of these lawsuits seem frivolous just to prove a point. They're not really based in real pain or suffering. I suspect that there were other wedding cake providers where Jack lived. It wasn't like he had a monopoly on that particular. It was really to prove a Supreme Court kind of case point. Does he have recourse financially to gain some of his loss back? Or do you know?
You're absolutely right that he stopped making wedding cakes because of what the Colorado Civil Rights Commission did to him. And there are so many others. Sweet Cakes by Melissa went out of business because of the decision there in Washington State. So, yeah, you have many of these business owners who perhaps might now try to restart that type of service that they provide. But in Jack's case, I don't know if there's any way to – I mean, he was tested in ways that, I would never want to be tested in terms of the phone call, the harassing phone calls and emails, and, of course, the loss of revenue for his business and the toll that it took on his family. So I don't know if there's ever any way to really recoup that. But I will say, to another point that you made, I think what is so sad in some of these cases is we've done a lot of these stories at the Daily Signal. I remember one of them being a farm in New York where a gay couple went and wanted to host their wedding on the farm. This farm rented out a barn. And it seemed like it was done so intentionally just to bring a case and a lawsuit against these people who – in no way were looking to discriminate. They just had deeply held beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman, and they did not want to host this wedding on their farm. And so you really do hope that people don't have that kind of motive to destroy somebody's life. But I think in this case, Jack, at least in the video we did with him in the interview yesterday, is maintaining a positive attitude and thinks that, you know, this is all set out by the Lord, and he's going to learn a powerful lesson from it and hopefully be a better person.
What was meant for evil, God meant for good. I think there's somewhere in Genesis that is said. Rob Bluey, editor of the Daily Signal, is our guest. We're going to be back with more Faith Radio Mornings and Rob Bluey in just a moment. Stay with us. One past the hour, Rob Bluey, editor of the Daily Signal, my guest today on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. Rob, so much to get to, not enough time. I do want to talk a little bit about the North Korea summit approaching next week. Apoplectic is a word that much of Washington must feel like they are in. They can't hardly believe that there's actually going to be a summit and peace talks under this president. It just seems oxymoronic for many, right?
Does. I mean, just when you think things couldn't get any stranger, of course, we have this high-profile visit from the high-ranking official from a North Korean who came to the White House with this giant envelope that he delivered to President Trump. And, of course, the president in his typical style, is teasing what was in it, said it was a very interesting note, but he's unwilling to disclose the contents. And then we learn this week that North Korea has invited, you know, Syria's leader Assad to visit with Kim Jong-un, and it's just another head-scratcher because there's probably no other leader on earth who President Trump is an adversary with than Assad, so you're kind of wondering what's going on there. But I think it all points to the thing that we can always recognize when it comes to North Korea. They are masters at getting attention and being a focus, sometimes not always in the most positive light, but certainly I think that they enjoy this moment where they are the center of the world's attention, and they will continue to be as we approach this June 12th summit. And I hope that the Trump administration maintains a hard line and insists on a denuclearized North Korea, because anything short of that, I don't think will accomplish what President Trump has set out to do here.
Well, essentially, if we are to believe Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which I do, she said basically all of the restrictions are still in place. Nothing has been let up until these agreements are come to, and that literally President Trump has tempered any kind of expectation or hope that there will be something magnificent out of this first meeting. This is just the first step of many, but as North Korea follows through, which they have done some incredible things, 3 hostages released, certainly there's dialogue that hasn't been there for decades. So I think it's fairly exciting, right?
It is, and you've had past presidents attempt to do this as well. I think the difference between previous conversations and what's taking place now, of course, is that North Korea has a nuclear capability that it didn't have in, say, 2000, the last time you had somebody of this rank visit the United States like they did last week. You're absolutely correct that North Korea does seem to be willing to take the steps. Releasing the hostages was an encouraging sign. But the Trump administration has not deployed all of the sanctions and the things that it can do, so it still has some leverage against North Korea in that regard. And when it comes to the summit itself, we know that President Trump likes these high-stakes type of affairs. I mean, let's face it, this is a man who wrote The Art of the Deal and goes through quite meticulously how to do exactly what he's attempting to do here on a much grander stage than, say, a real estate transaction, though.
That's very true. Consequences are a little bit different. There's so much to talk about. Let's talk about the economy. Washington acts like nothing is happening. 3.8% unemployment, the lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, I think, in history. And there's hardly anything said in the mainstream media.
Well, the president himself took the media to task for this last week when he said he posted on Twitter about an hour before the jobs report came out that he was looking forward to seeing the jobs report. And all of the stories that day were not actually about the numbers in the jobs report, but that Trump had broken decades of precedent by commenting vaguely about the jobs report before the jobs report was out. I mean, can you believe this? It's like the media hit a new low last week, from everything from Roseanne Barr to Samantha Bee to the New York Times making up some numbers about Trump's campaign rally. And then they close the week by doing this. I mean, it is the jobs numbers are incredible, and we should be celebrating them. And I think the tax cuts are a significant piece of that. Again, it's an accomplishment that Trump and the Republicans have made that you probably don't hear enough about. We continue to have the success that we're having. So President Trump had said he had set some high benchmarks for where he wanted to get with the economy, and so far he seems to be on course to accomplishing that.
Yeah, pretty amazing. The year was 1982. I dare say Rob Bluey wasn't born yet. Is that correct?
I was born in
1980. Were you really? I'm shocked. All right. 1982, President Reagan was at Westminster, and he gave an incredible speech on freedom of democracy. That was 36 years ago. We have a short clip I want you to comment on in just a moment, Rob.
We must be staunch in our conviction that freedom is not the sole prerogative of a lucky few, but the inalienable and universal right of all human beings. The objective I propose is quite simple to state: to foster the infrastructure of democracy, the system of a free press, unions, political parties, universities, which allows a people to choose their own way, to develop their own culture, to reconcile their own differences through peaceful means. This is not cultural imperialism. It is providing the means for genuine self-determination and protection for diversity.
Powerful speech. Please comment, set up some historical perspective, if you would.
Absolutely. So this the anniversary of this speech is, of course, this Friday. It's one of the most significant and lasting speeches of Reagan's presidency. For him to go and do this at Westminster at a time when it seemed that the Soviet Union was on the rise and gaining momentum throughout the globe, and to predict that the March of Freedom and Democracy would leave communism on the ash heap of history was truly remarkable, a bold statement by the president, and one that it turned out he was absolutely correct in making. And so I think at a time today when we don't necessarily have the threat of communism, although it still does exist in many aspects of the world, which takes away the freedom of so many people on this planet, there still are other ideologies that compete and do that. I mean, we look at terrorism and the threat that it poses today. So certainly, I think for your listeners, something to be remindful of the great words of our former president, and also that we need to always keep that in mind, because as we know, freedom is one generation from being lost.
Rob Bluey is our guest. He's editor of the Daily Signal. Before I let you go, Rob, what are you working on today? Probably too many things to comment on, but what's foremost in your thoughts today?
Well, late last night, the president tweeted that he was disinviting the Philadelphia Eagles
to the
White House. So I expect that this will be the buzz around Washington, another one of these stories that, you know, probably has limited policy consequences, but certainly many strong feelings in culture. So we'll be looking at that. And then there's a couple of things happening in the House this week in the Senate. So the Senate's confirming more of President Trump's judges. The House is going to have a big conference meeting on what to do about immigration. So we'll be following that news on Capitol Hill.
Rob Bluey, editor of the Daily Signal. God bless you, Rob. Thanks for your weekly visit. So glad to have you as a part of Faith Radio. And whether it's the afternoon or the morning, we always look forward to hearing from you. Have a great day, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
6:29, actually coming up on 30 past the hour. We're going to be taking a break for news here in just a moment. We appreciate you tuning in to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. God bless you. We're 35 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 a.m. on the Eastern Time Zone in Hartford. So glad to have you tuning in today. Happy Tuesday. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to be talking to Dr. Rosemary Stein of the Christian Medical and Dental Association. But right now, Jimmy Page, he's not the guitarist. He is a fitness expert and author, was a recent guest on Faith Radio. And he said one of the easiest ways to improve your health is to begin drinking more water on a regular basis. Jimmy explains why this is so important.
Most people don't realize, but the human body is actually made up of almost 70% water. So your brain is 80% water. Your muscles are 75% water. And overall, your body is 70%. So when you talk about getting enough water, you're talking about the very fuel for your body to perform at its best. So we can only live without water for 4 days at the most. So the benefits initially are that everything just works better when you are properly hydrated. And there's going to be a lot of listeners today probably that have at one point or another wanted to lose weight and have found that frustrating. And hydration, being properly hydrated, is probably the number one thing you can do to assist with weight loss. It just gets easier to burn fat, it regulates your hormones, and it boosts your metabolism. but most people don't think of water that way.
That's Jimmy Page. He's a fitness expert and author, and if you'd like to hear more of his interview, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, put Jimmy Page, and we'll commit to live fit. You'll figure it out, and you can hear the entire interview again on our website. Dr. Rosemary Stein coming up in just a few moments on Faith Radio Mornings. It's 37 past the hour.
Loyalty and commitment. What I'm referring to here are values I'd like to see restored in every church. This is Jim Garlow. I make no apologies about it. I want to see an intensified commitment and, yes, a healthy, fierce loyalty to the church. Call me crazy. I think loyalty and commitment are values we need now more than ever in our churches. And just because they are disappearing, I don't have to like it. Commitment is the number one most needed ingredient in every church. What fuels commitment? What makes loyalty happen? It's not guilt or inflicting some kind of condemnation or rules or edicts. It's passion for Christ. It's passion for God. A passion for knowing God's Word. So where's your passion? Your answer will determine your commitment and your loyalty. One guy said to me, "Loyalty's out. Accept it." Nope, not gonna accept it. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down.
It's 38 past the hour, and of course, that walk-up music belongs to Dr. Rosemary Stein of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and Dr. Rosemary, so glad to have you on again. Faith Radio Mornings, great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Dick. Hope you are doing well.
Yes, you know, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining where we are, at least for the moment. And we've had some extreme weather over the last couple of weekends. But, you know, it's beginning to feel a little bit like late spring, early summer. And we in the upper Midwest and Hartford are certainly enjoying that. Love talking to you. There's an interesting headline. Actually, it's out of Reuters.com. It's an article about health and kids, and it's talking about friendships. And it intimates, or actually says, that if you are healthy in your friendships and relationships, your kids are healthier in their friendships and relationships. Could you comment on that and maybe expand that conversation?
Oh, certainly. I actually see this in the clinic every day. As a lot of you know, I have a pretty large clinic in North Carolina, and a lot of the children are suffering from depression and anxiety, but they're following their parents into the abyss. And so I can see the affect of the parents, specifically the mom, and somewhat predict how the kid's going to do. If the mom is easily affected by problems that she has or bad relationships, bad friendships, or a bad time that she's having, even with her husband or a boyfriend that she might be dating, I can see how that affects the kid. And that kid is sort of the mirror image, in a sense, of the mom. So we need to be very careful about who we bring into our own lives. And we think that that doesn't affect our children. Oh, but we're so wrong, because we bring our children right smack dab into the middle of our relationships.
Yeah, you know, I can certainly see that. I mean, it makes sense. It's the opposite of do as I say, not as I do, you know, because what we do really does set the tone. And I guess maybe from a mental health perspective, probably many of us haven't really thought about that impact. Our attitudes, you know, dispositions really do affect the household, which affect the kids, and so on and so forth.
And that's why I tell parents that even in the middle of all of our problems, it's not to tell our children that we are impervious, but rather that we are resilient. And we have to show that resilience in front of our children. Don't break down in front of them. Don't start screaming and yelling over trivial things. If something bad does happen, tell your children that you are affected, but we're going to get through it. And you're going to see your children build themselves up And you build them up to be resilient men and women also. What you do, what you say, how you carry yourself is extremely important because your children will follow that pattern.
They are resilient, and I love that. Don't be impervious. Don't let them think you're impervious, but be resilient through that. That's a very good word for us today. Dr. Stein, one of the other things that I didn't think would ever catch on, and it really is, I've noticed it more and more, is vaping. For the uninformed, talk a little bit about that and why it's an increasing concern for families.
Oh, absolutely. See, one more of those things that I'm seeing every day. And we really got sold a package of goods here a few years ago because we wanted to decrease cigarette smoking. And so what we did is we invented a form of a smokeless smoking, and that became vaping or e-smoking. But what happened was that instead of just eliminating the carcinogenic substances that were in cigarette smoke, well, we were able to intensify from what, you know, what is in nature, we were able to intensify the substances and also the active ingredients, like nicotine. We're able to make it now several times stronger than the nicotine found in tobacco. We're able to add other substances that will improve the nicotine absorption, but also will give kids a greater high. And so, and we've also said in the blanket of all this, we've said, oh, this doesn't affect you as bad as tobacco. So kids feel like they're morally doing the right thing by vaping instead of smoking a cigarette. So these two things make it so that there is an epidemic of kids that are vaping. At the same time, kids' brains are still developing, so that they're getting these substances into these developing brains, and we actually are not sure of how this is affecting them. And I am pretty sure by seeing how the kids are reacting and how they're getting much sicker very quickly, they're not able to process thoughts the same way, that this is affecting them far more than we know. And it's very difficult to convince kids today that this is actually very destructive to their bodies and to the development of their brain.
Comment on this. There was a local news story, WIVB, that ran a story where a teen developed wet lung after vaping for 3 weeks. First of all, what is wet lung? I'm unfamiliar with that term.
Well, when I refer to wet lung, I'm talking about they have some sort of foreign body absorption, and that from that they get an infection. Now, what I'm thinking about is that the kid probably held the vapor in his lungs too long,
mm-hmm.
and that probably sort of produced an osmosis into the lung tissue, because of that caused it's not just an infection. When babies have something similar to that, they have bronchiolitis and that they get fluid into their lungs. So it has to be that the substance caused a sort of a allergic reaction. It stayed in there and then fluid came into their lungs and then caused a sort of a secondary infection because of it. I've not seen that, but obviously that may have been related to the vaping. But my number one concern when it comes to vaping is not just the lungs, it's really the brain.
Wow.
Because the problems on the lung, let's say that this child, we treat him and he gets, you know, pretty much close to normal. Maybe he has some mild asthma with time. But the really big thing, the thing that you can't even measure, you don't know where that child was going, the development that kid was going to have before the vaping, you're going to have some sort of change. It's not going to be for the good, for the rest of the kid's life on the kid's brain.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And certainly we're exchanging one problem for another, and it certainly for young people is even more medically severe. We're 46 minutes past the hour. We're going to continue with our conversation with Dr. Rosemary Stein from the Christian Medical and Dental Association in a few moments. Hope you'll stay with us. We have some summer topics to discuss, and certainly how to keep your kids safe. Again, 46 past the hour. Thank you. 49 minutes past the hour. Happy Tuesday. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's Faith Radio Mornings. Dr. Rosemary Stein of the Christian Medical and Dental Association is our guest. And Dr. Stein, back to vaping. Our board operator and assistant producer, Logan Rausch, had a comment that I thought I'd pass along to you because I thought it was rather humorous and appropriate.
I just thought it was funny that you mentioned how difficult it is to convince kids that vaping is bad, as if everything else we try to convince kids of is very easy. As in, you know, they certainly won't listen to us about vaping, but they listen every time I ask them to pick their things up when they're done with them.
He just graduated from college. That's why he's so smart, Dr. Stein.
And that's a great point. But see, kids, they live in, not any differently from other people, but they live in their world, and they've made conclusion about their facts. And if they have made a conclusion, even at 16, 19, 20, they are pretty well grounded in that that is true. It's going to take a fair amount of convincing to be able to change that worldview that that kid has. And because the atmosphere around them is telling them vaping's not bad, they think that you're a fuddy-duddy, that you have old-fashioned news, and not you're not with it if you tell them something that goes against a kid's worldview. They do that for everything. But vaping, let's say marijuana smoking, they have already their worldview on that. And to be able to convince them and shift them away from that takes a lot of love and patience.
Yes. Well, and thank you for being a voice of reason in a world really that's unreasonable. Let's talk about a couple of summer topics because we are there, and probably the weather is a little warmer in North Carolina than it's even been here. Let's talk about sunscreen. You have some strong feelings about sunscreen, the importance thereof. Can you kind of elaborate?
Sure. Actually, in our world in North Carolina, we have a lot of sun risk, and when we add that to the humidity and other other climate factors that we have going on, they can be pretty detrimental to children in the summer. But the one thing that we're all fooled about is that we tell parents, oh, make sure that you put the sunscreen on, and it has an SPF of this number. Well, the higher the number, the more that we're fooled into thinking that you can just leave your kid outside and you don't have to worry about it. But what the SPF is not, it's not the number that tells us that it's a stronger or more reliant of sun protection factor. It just means that you can rely on that it will protect your child from the sun for a longer amount of time. So 50 just means about 50 minutes, which
really
means that the kid every 50 minutes has to come back and get some more. And not all all sun lotion is sun protection lotion is waterproof, and so it's more fooling us than it's not. But here's the balance about it all: our children are not getting enough exposure to sun rays, and so because of that, we have a huge deficiency in vitamin D, because the best vitamin D is on our skin and is broken down by the sun. So there's balance. Here's the thing: it's all about balance. And yes, our children should be going out there. They should be exposed to the sun, but we shouldn't be exposing ourselves nor our children to the sun for an undetermined amount of time. We should, like everything else, seek balance in everything that we do. And so when we should protect our children and put sun protection lotion on them, but we should understand that at the same time our kids need a break from the sun, we should be able to go and have a snack and get out of the pool and go and sit in the shade, maybe some 15, 20 minutes, have a board game, have a game that you do with your kids, and then they can go back to playing and being kids again.
Well, let's talk about this then. If I'm ready to send my son or daughter or my grandson or granddaughter out for an hour or so, what am I looking for when it comes to the sunscreen? You talked about some of it not being waterproof. Obviously, if you're not going to the pool, that's not important. But what would you recommend I be looking for when it comes to sunscreen? What are the things that are important?
I would be, I mean, this is a difficult thing because then you have to buy several of them and see how it spreads on the skin. So you want something that, that spreads pretty well on the skin but isn't chalky. You also want to make sure that it's child-friendly, and if you have a smaller child and they lick their skin or something like that, that there aren't any ingredients in it, so you can read it, that that aren't going to be harmful if the kid if the kid happens to lick some of it off. And you also want to even if you're not in the pool, kids sweat. And so that means that decreases the exposure that the lotion's going to have. So that you want to feel your kid's skin after after maybe like half an hour or 35 minutes to see if there's a little bit of the stickiness of the lotion on the kid still. So that you can figure out for yourself, okay, is this something that completely washes off when my child sweats? Or is it something that, you know, within half an hour I can still feel it on there? So you're almost doing an experiment of your own. I feel that the less expensive ones are as good. I mean, I'm talking about Coppertone and maybe Neutrogena, but some of the more expensive ones with the name brands, they haven't been tried and tested as well. And so you're just buying for a designer bottle and not for the actual sun protection factor that the lotion's going to give you. More expensive and not better when it comes to sunscreen.
Madison Avenue strikes again, right? Pretty
it's
much.
It's good marketing.
Yes, that's true. We have just a minute or so left in our time. Let's talk about bacteria in swimming pools, hot tubs, et cetera. I remember as a young boy swimming in our lake, which was just a step above a Petri dish. But today there's a new kind of bacteria that parents should be alerted to, correct?
Well, and there are many time, I wouldn't say time tested, but bacteria and also parasites that have been around quite a while. And I think the one that you're thinking about is Cryptosporidium, which is actually a parasite. It can be very detrimental to kids' health. But here's the thing. When you're talking about lake water and you say it's a Petri dish, actually it's not as bad because you don't have as many kids that are swimming in it in pull-ups. That's the problem. The problem that we have today is that we have 3- and 4-year-olds that are still in their pull-ups, and they're all in their swimming pools. And so when they're in there, they might go to the bathroom, and it might be number one, it might be number two, and especially number two is going to be bacteria and parasite-laden, just normally. That's just the way that the body functions. And so all of this is going into the pool because the pull-up, even if it's supposed to be waterproof, it's not. It will leak into the water. And so there is where you really eat. And even though you have chlorinated water, you can't have enough chlorine in the water to be
sure.
able to take care of all this bacteria. And so really the problem comes back down to we got to get our kids potty trained earlier so that they can enjoy the pool. And if they're not, then they should only be in the water for a little amount of time, take them out, check them up just for every neighbor out there so that we're taking care of the other kids that are in the pool as well as our own kids.
Cryptosporidium is why I didn't try to pronounce it until you did. Dr. Rosemary Stein of the Christian Medical and Dental Association, thank you for being our guest. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. We'll have more in a moment. That's hour number one of Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. Thanks for joining us. Stay with us, Scott Williams and Karen Swallow Pryor in the next hour.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.